Transition. I believe with all my heart, we are in a time of transition. We are at an absolutely dynamic and strategic time on God's timetable. You've made a choice to be here tonight. God bless you for that choice. I agree, Pastor Phil. God bless you. God refresh you. Thank you for your ministry, for all that you do. Those of you from Living Faith Fellowship that are coming here tonight, you're involved in daily ministry in this whole region. We love you. We thank you. And ministers of God, we want you to be encouraged tonight. Rise up. We get to rise up in His presence, rise up in encouragement, rise up in inspiration. And as you leave here over these next several days, having spent this time, we believe that our lives are going to be transformed. Anybody join me in that belief? Our lives are going to be transformed in the presence of the Lord. A short time ago, a few weeks back, maybe some of you watched a funeral service for Billy Graham. And his daughter, who is an absolutely prophetic and powerful preacher, Ann Graham Lotz, sat at her father's funeral, and she spoke it with the dynamic intensity that she's known for. She talked about her father, who brought millions to Jesus. And she said, he died on February 21st. And some of us might not recall or might not know that that's the day the Jews read the story of the death of Moses, who brought millions to the promised land. And then it became Joshua's turn to lead them in. And Joshua in the New Testament is translated as Jesus. And it's a transition time. We are watching God unfold a new day. I, for one, I want to be a part of that new day. How about you? Transition. There is a prophetic intensity underway. So much to do. Anybody besides me feel like, what's a mother to do? There's so much to do. So much ministry to do. So much to be involved in. And our time is vital, which is why I believe, since you've chosen to be here, God is going to meet you in a powerful way in these next several days. Whether it's encouragement, whether it's simply in fellowship, striking up some new friendships, enjoying the olds, and we just are thrilled to be together. But God, we are hungry to see you move in the Northwest. We are hungry to see you here in Pullman, Moscow, and move in a fresh way in Washington State, throughout our nation, throughout this earth. He promises He is going to fill this earth with His glory as the waters cover the sea, and I want to be a part of it. How about you? Oh, God. So what happens? He calls together a celebration assembly. We gather with one heart. One purpose, one mind. We rise up and we come into the house of God together. And over these next several days, that's what we're going to do. In Leviticus, you find where he called a sacred assembly. Three times a year also, there were festivals and they were to go up to Jerusalem and celebrate. And you know about the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, were the songs that they sang as they made their way up the hills into Jerusalem. And Psalm 122 is one of my favorite verses. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. The closer this event came, we were excited. We were excited to be here with you. I was glad. And you can imagine they're going up the hill to Jerusalem. It's about 2,500 feet sea level or above sea level. And can you imagine as the families came together, they hadn't seen each other for a while. You can imagine their version of high-fiving out on the highways and they're starting to sing the song of the Lord. Come on, let's go to Jerusalem. God's going to meet us there in a powerful, fresh way. And that's why we're here tonight. Amen. The party was on. So we officially declare the party on. Amen. Destiny. I happen to believe there is such a thing as divine destiny. I believe God's got a plan. And right now, tonight, it is no accident you're here on God's timetable and in His plan. Let's let history come alive for a few minutes. Remember the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out as they gathered in an upper room. But they didn't stop there. Remember just a few chapters later where the Bible says in Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the place where they assembled was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of boldness Word of God with boldness. Folks, there was a whole lot of shaking going on. For you older folks, that's 1957 Jerry Lee Lewis. Don't get me started. I was a former DJ. We could probably name a few songs. But they don't have anything on the shaking that God wants to bring when He fills His people in a fresh way with the Spirit of the Lord. Are you ready to be full afresh? Filled afresh with the Spirit of the Lord? Are you ready for a new move of God in your own heart and your own life? Are you ready to go out of here a changed man and woman of God? I am. I am. Azusa Street, 1902 to 1906, the power of the Holy Spirit poured out, spread around the world. You come a few years later to 1948, there's a small group of students at Rose of Sharon Bible School up in Saskatchewan, Canada, and they're looking at the book of Acts and they say, why can't this be true for us today? And the baptism of the Holy Spirit fell on them, became known as the Latter Rain Movement, and around the world the outpouring was taken. We have Gordon Lindsay, who began the Fellowship of Churches and Ministers International. Like-minded, hungry people in the Spirit who gathered together under the banner of fellowship and network and strengthening one another. And then a little bit later, we have the charismatic renewal. Don't let anybody kid you. One of the most important renewals and outpourings of the Holy Ghost that has ever occurred on this earth took place in the charismatic outpouring. How many here got ushered into the kingdom of God during the charismatic heyday? How many know it's not over? It's not over. But I'm not just hungry for history. But right here at Living Faith Fellowship, if you've been here a few years, maybe you don't know all the history, but this church right here was literally birthed in the revival and in the fire of the Holy Spirit. Imprinted on every one of our hearts is the DNA of revival. The DNA of the Spirit of the Lord. Pastor Phil said, we're a Spirit-filled church. What does that mean? That means we give Him room. We want Him to move. We want to hear what He's got to say. We want to do what He's doing. We want to be who He wants us to be. There's a passion that burns inside as the fire of God burns within us for Him. And now, it's 2018. Oh God, it's time. Oh God, isn't it time to pour out a fresh revival, a fresh reformation, a fresh move of your Spirit? Oh God, we're crying out to you even right now together. Cry out with me, church. Lord, pour out your Spirit in a fresh and powerful way. Come on, cry out to God. Lord, pour out your Holy Ghost right here in this place, right here in these cities, right here in our state, right here in our nation. Oh God, fill this earth with your glory as the waters cover the sea. Oh God, it is time for a fresh move of God. We're not just wanting history. We're wanting today in the presence of Jesus. Now we've got this intensity within us. We work hard. Some of you really work hard. But does it ever seem to you like life's a bit of a roller coaster? Come on, you're being too quiet. Anybody life ever like that? Ever feel like it's a roller coaster? You're one step forward, two steps back, and it's not a dance? And then we read, thank you, Pastor Phil. I appreciate that feedback. And then we read this verse. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But sometimes, come on, sometimes maybe you're like me. I wonder, God, do you see? Do you hear? Lord, I keep stepping into the pulpit and I preach about this revival that you're bringing and this moving of your Spirit. And oh God, do you see or did you pass by or forget? Oh God, I'm so hungry for the fresh move of God. I'm counseling many of you, counseling till late at night. Or late at night, you prepare your message and then your favorite person goes to sleep on the front row. Or you turn to your wife after this message, blood, sweat, and tears you put into it, and then you stand in the pulpit, you deliver it, you think, wow, we did it. Then you turn to your wife afterwards, you go, well, hey, how'd that go? And she goes, fine. No, that's never you. Never. But sometimes we wonder. I want to talk for just a quick minute about a little more history that there's application on. Do you know that in Isaiah's day, we just read that text, they were saying the same thing. The whole context with text, what goes with the text that provides the meaning? Context. Starting in verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, this way? My way is hidden from the Lord. My just claim is passed over by my God. Come on, anybody ever feel that way? How come you're not seeing God, what we're doing? And it says, have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Sorry, my voice is still changing. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those, say it with me, who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Out of a different version, out of the New Living, it says, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run, they'll not grow weary, they will walk and not faint. Now listen to this, if you will, out of the Message version. It's a little direct, and it deals with me. I don't know if it ever deals with you, but it deals with me sometimes. Why would you ever complain, O Jacob? Why would you whine, Israel? You know what whining sounds like. How come? Lord, why didn't you do this? And I'm sure none of you ever feel that. It says he knows everything. God's lost track of me. Now, the reality is, you all know the stories. There are a multitude of pastors who drop out every day. And you know what we're here to do? Help them stay in. Help them not only stay in, but succeed and get a fresh wind and get a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. That's why we gather together to encourage each other. I get to look at my friends and say, how are you doing? How's it really going? Man, we've been praying for you. You've been on my heart. And you say the same to me, I hope. And we encourage each other. And sometimes that's what it takes when you're in the trenches working hard. And he says he energizes those who get tired. He gives fresh strength to dropouts. Even young people like us tire and drop out. Young folks in their prime stumble to fall. But those who wait on the Lord, upon God, get fresh strength. They spread their wings and they soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. Let me again just give you a little bit. How many have ever heard of Assyria? Anybody ever hear of Assyria? Sure. Israel had been overrun by Assyria. Isaiah, what's the context? Isaiah was prophesying to Judah, but he was living right at the time Assyria was attacking and getting ready to take the 10 tribes of Israel off to Assyrian land. Prophets had come to Israel and tried to get them to turn around, and they didn't want to turn around, and captivity had come. All I want to say to you about Assyria is you can see across the lands that they had a huge amount of land that they overcame a lot of people, and they overran the 10 tribes of Israel. And all I want to say is you should know in the history books, it literally will tell you they probably were the most brutal conquerors in history. I don't even need to go into the background, but it's no wonder Jonah didn't want to go preach to Nineveh in Assyria. They were creating cruel bondage. And church, the reality is, we labor to see people who were involved in cruel bondage be set free, don't we? Anybody in this room ever had cruel bondage in your life? The enemy's not a fun guy. He likes to snap a whip at your back saying, do it, do it, do it. And Jesus comes along and delivers us and sets us free. And we get to labor to help people be set free from cruel bondage. Did you know that only 90 years after the 10 tribes were taken to captivity by Assyria, Babylon steps up to the plate? And Babylon was prophesied by Isaiah that they are going to take you into a land of captivity. Now, Babylon took Israel, Judah, if you will, three times over 20 years and took them into the land of Babylon. And eventually they destroyed Israel. They destroyed the temple. It was a heartbreaking time. The Israelites, the Judahites could not go back home. But something was different there. In Babylon, they allowed the people to have their own area, their own identity. They allowed the people to have employment. In fact, many of the Israelites got very, very wealthy. And the big challenge under Babylon was in 70 years when the captivity was over, do you want to go back home to Israel? So you got cruel captivity, and then you have comfortable captivity. And you know, sometimes we work hard to help people get out of the cruel captivity, but how many know sometimes, even in our own life, we have to help people get out of comfortable captivity. They get comfortable in the world, and it's hard to light the fire. You ever try to start a match out in a rainstorm? Anybody ever been camping and you got the matches wet? And sometimes it's hard. But we have problems sometimes and labor hard to help people in both directions. And God tells us how. How do we do this? Sometimes laborers get tired, get weary. So God says, gather together in a celebration. Gather them all together. Refresh these people as you go up to Jerusalem. I want you to read the Word of God. I want you to pray, and I want you to sing these songs, and I want you to encourage each other. It's time for a celebration assembly where you can rise up and receive strength and rise up and receive encouragement. And some of you tonight might have these needs, whether you're in ministry or not. Maybe your heart is heavy with a burden for your people, for your family. Maybe you know people that you really grieve about who are in bondage and into captivity, or you just wish there'd be a fresh fire inside their soul. Maybe you just get tired. Just tired. And you need healing of heart and soul and body, and that is exactly what Jesus is here to do. Minister healing in heart, soul, and body. And maybe like me, you qualify under all of these, but you say, Lord, what I really want is a fresh move of God. I want a fresh wind to blow. Come on, I want a fresh wind to blow in my life. I want the fresh moving of the Spirit, oh God. And my fire is burning, but oh God, I know it can be so much more alive. I know I can be and hear and do. And God, I can be strengthened and go back out to do what you've called me to do. How? Well, there's an insight in this verse. What does it say? Those who wait on the Lord shall, what? Renew their strength. And that word literally means exchange. Those who wait on the Lord shall exchange their strength. So if you've come here tonight, and maybe you fit in some of these categories, or maybe you're simply saying, you know, I just want more of Jesus. What he says to do is take that strength you've got. Take whatever the burden is. Whatever the heart calling or desire or whatever that thing is that sometimes weighs you down, take it, put it in your hands, and lift it up to Him. Come on, can you lift your hands today? Lift up your hands to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm giving you what I've got. I'm giving you even what I don't have. And right now, by faith, I'm receiving your fresh strength. Come on. I receive your fresh strength, Lord. Right now, by faith, oh God, I receive your fresh wind. I receive the fresh blowing of the Holy Spirit. I receive, oh God, and I'm going to enter into worship, and I'm going to experience your grace and your joy, and I receive you and exchange my strength. You have been called to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. I'm going to say it again, and I want you to let it resonate in your spirit. You have been called to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. God did not pass you by. Maybe you look at me and say, I'm retired. Guess what? You don't get to retire from the kingdom of God. Maybe you say, I'm too young. I can't do this. That's my excuse. Jesus knows you intimately, deeply. He cares for you. He loves you. He sees you sitting right where you are. He sees you in the night seasons. He sees you at home. He sees you with your family. And Jesus has come to say, come on, son, daughter, give me what you got and receive me. Fresh strength in exchange. I pray, even as we enter into worship, as Pastor Phil said, let the gifts of the Spirit spring freely forth. We want to hear what God's got to say. As you stand in worship, if you're a baptizer in the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues and receive a brand new prayer language from the Lord. Receive something brand new from Jesus. If you're not baptized in the Spirit, there are teams of people here to pray for you. We are a Spirit-filled congregation. What does that mean? We're a Spirit-filled movement. What does it mean? It means we give Him room to do what He wants to do. And we say, oh God, You are one. Welcome here. We've come to rise up and see you. Welcome to the Rise Up Conference. Would you stand with me? Stand to your feet. What we're going to do is we're going to ask the musicians to come, and we're just going to ask the Lord to pour Himself out on your heart in a fresh way, even again tonight. Worship was wonderful. The songs were powerful. You can do as many of those country ones as you want over these next several days. And I'm going to encourage you to raise your hands again and to expect Jesus to minister to you. Pastor Phil, I know you have teams of people who are here to pray for folks if they need prayer. And most of all, I want you to be completely encouraged that Jesus sees you, knows you, and wants to minister to you. Can you receive that tonight? Can you receive that tonight, church? Father, come on, just raise your hands. Lord, we put our trust in You for a fresh move in our lives. Lord, we trust You and we thank You and we exchange strength with You right now, oh God. Now, Lord, pour out Your Spirit in a fresh and powerful way. Lord, You see Your men and women here who have come a long distance to be encouraged and refreshed. Pour out the Holy Spirit on them, oh God. Pour out the Holy Spirit. Now just begin to let the Lord know, I receive You, Jesus. Come on, I receive You, Jesus. And let your prayer language just begin to flow and step out in faith as God moves you. I receive You, Lord. I believe You. I give You room. I give You room and trust, and I believe You, O Lord, because You are so good. We rise up. We receive You, Lord, our God. Thank You, Jesus. I'm excited to be here. How about you? I'm expecting God to do something great in your life and mine over these next several days. How about you? Amen. Give a shout of praise to the Lord. Amen.